been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, here we go. It is time. The regular season is here. Who saw that coming? The regular season. It's here. It's September. We're ready. It's week one. The Ravens are up against the Browns. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm great, man. We finally arrived at the regular season, like Harbaugh alluded to, and we were discussing pre-show. It snuck up on the fans, but not the Ravens, because they've been working hard. But here we are, in this crazy world of 2020 we live in, we're going to have an NFL season that starts, we're recording Tuesday, so it officially starts Thursday with the champion Chiefs against the Texans, a rematch of the 2019 divisional round of the playoffs. It starts off with them and the Ravens. We get the Browns. Divisional game, home game, if you can call it a home game officially. But yeah, we get the Browns on Sunday right out of the gate. We're less than a week away.
Now, if my memory serves me right, I mean, again, like you said, this has been a crazy year, so there's a lot going on right now. But if my memory serves me right, the Browns gave the Ravens a loss last year. A very unsuspecting loss, but it seems like that one may have lit a fire under the Ravens' butt. They didn't lose after that Browns game. So how is this Ravens team in 2020 different than the one in 2019? We've got a couple new guys, but really, I don't see that many differences from last year to this year.
I mean, you really have to look at on paper. I mean, the major differences are really the acquisitions and the exits that the Ravens have had. Obviously, the biggest one and the biggest problem we had was, you know, Earl Thomas. I mean, that's the biggest, you know, I feel like it's addition by subtraction. Then you look at the additions, Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, who actually have made the starting lineup as well and inserting right in there. And Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark are, our starting safeties. So, you know, there is a little bit changes, but not much. Looking at the scope of the aftermath of the depth chart, the receivers are pretty much as is. The offensive line is pretty much as is from last year with the addition of DJ Fluker on the line. He is starting. The defense has a little bit of different makeup to it, but all in all, the nucleus is still there from last year. Everybody's gotten a year better. I think, you know, obviously we know Marquise Brown with removing the screw from his foot, with adding the leanness, the muscle, he's back and ready and poised better than ever since last year. Miles Boykin, you know, from what I've actually observed through this wild training camp, I should say that he had a decent camp, I could say. So I think Miles Boykin could emerge, and so there's the differences, and you can say it looks like the same Ravens team, but when you really look closely, they on paper, again, I know that the league's not played on paper. This isn't paper football. This even isn't fantasy football. It's real football. But the Ravens have a better roster than their 14-2 12-game winning streak team last year. So that's even crazy to say. So no wonder, I know Colin Coward took a lot of flack for this, but I'm going to start the conversation there where he took a flack for this and saying that the Ravens could easily go 16-0. They are actually favored in every game they play this year. I don't think there's a time where the Ravens through the whole regular season have been favored in every single game. Looking at the makeup of the team, I'm actually excited for that. And it's not far-fetched the team to go 16-0. I know people are like, oh, that's crazy enough. But I'm like, Brandon, the team won 12 straight games last year. if they would have won it all, and they should have won it all, they would have had to win 15 straight, one off of 16. So is 16 really that far off? I really want to ask you, because I'm like, to me, it doesn't sound crazy when you think about that. The 2000 team that was anchored and led by that 2000 defense, they won 11 straight. So it's, you know, is it really that hard? I mean, you know, the Patriots won 18 straight. I just really feel like this team, there's going to be a lot of swagger, a lot bit more firepower with it, giving off of last year. But again, we can keep going last year, or even in the past. Last year was last year. We know it was Lamar Jackson's MVP season. We know Marquise Brown emerged as the rookie that we all knew he would be. And we knew Mark Ingram made an immediate impact. And, we're going to get to see in year two with everybody getting that much better. Another year with the Ravens' playbook familiarity and gelling with the team. That's what I'm excited to see is year two. Okay, Lamar just got an MVP year. It's almost like, what more you can do, right? What can you do better? And I think what separates those great ones from mediocre is, all right, what's the next step? And all week I've been reading, and all offseason I've been reading, that there was an article just posted on the Ravens site. You know, Lamar's hungry. He's focused on that Lombardi. He wants that championship. And for him to keep ascending and not trending backwards, right? You know, he's following the Mahomes pattern. Year one, had success. Got into the playoffs, lost the game, didn't win. You know, they didn't get there. Year two, Mahomes gets there and wins it all. If Lamar follows the ascension pattern, he should be champion in 2021 or 2020 season, 2021 year. So I'm just excited to see that blueprint. And again, I get it, right? We got to take it opponent by opponent, week by week. You know, you can't just sit there and look at the whole schedule saying, okay, let's crown them. You know, the Browns are going to give us everything they got and then some, you know, Sunday. It's a brand new season. Everybody's motivated. The Browns are certainly motivated because they had a year. Like, right? Like, all those offseason additions, Baker, Mayfield going, you know, trying to, ascend just like Lamar. And they got Odell Beckham Jr. and Nick Chubb's running around, and they got Jarvis Landry, and they just fell on their face, and they couldn't win. A divisional opponent right out of gate, two hungry teams. I think it's going to be another good one, man. I can't wait.
And like you brought up, they have a guy like Chubb who is their backup, and I mean, that's a big guy, and he plays his position perfectly, and you got to look at it. I mean, if that's the backup, you know, you got to watch out for the first string guy as well, but he's a star, and he's a backup for the Browns. But you brought up the Ravens depth chart, and I want to bring up the running back position, because we saw what Mark Ingram can do last year as a Raven. You know, he of course, had a lot of years before the Ravens and looked great in those years. But last year, he really looked fantastic, and then he got hurt towards the end, and he wasn't 100% in that Titans game in January, and that was very obvious, and I think that's why the Ravens went with picking up a guy like J.K. Dobbins, who they've all said that he's a guy that they didn't think would be available when he was, so they just kind of picked him up. And J.K. Dobbins, he's been the guy that everybody has been interested in during these training camp sessions that you're allowed to see. Of course, because of COVID, you and I weren't able to go to any training camps at the castle or at the stadium, unfortunately. So really, we're kind of limited of what the Ravens put out, of what we were allowed to see, or what some other media members said about him. But J.K. Dobbins is a guy that everybody's been talking about, and how impressed they were, and how this he's going to add so much to the team. Yet the depth chart comes out, and he's number four on the depth chart. You know,
do you really believe that, though?
That's what I want to ask you. Do you believe that this guy is the fourth string here? Because you've got Ingram, you've got Gus the Bus, Justice Hill, and then J.K. Dobbins. So is that just the fact that he's a rookie? Is that the only reason why he's number four on the depth chart? Or do you think they're going to be utilizing J.K. Dobbins more than Gus the Bus or Justice Hill? What do you think about this four-man tandem at running back?
Well, first off, you know, what do I think about it? I love it. You know, they have all the firepower they need to kind of keep the crown of rushing champion. I mean, they were the number one rushing team. They set the NFL record for rush yards in a season. Not even that, but Lamar Jackson himself set the rush yards for a quarterback. So, I mean, they were rushing all over the place, and then they went out and added probably the sneakiest pick of all in the draft in J.K. Dobbins. And the dude just made noise in Ohio State, and that's all he did was just make noise and then some. So Dobbins is going to add so much flair, finesse, and firepower to this running game. Fourth, by order of kind of where he is on the totem pole, like, you know, look, the seniority. Ingram, you know, he's the senior. He's the veteran. You know, he obviously is going to get the starting nod. Then you have, you know, Gus Edwards, who's second in line, and obviously Justice Hill, who's brand newer. And then now you have the brand new running back, J.K. Dobbins. So in the order of seniority, it makes sense. But what's even quizzical is obviously me doing fantasy drafts. I still got one tonight, got one tomorrow right before the season starts. Been doing them all week last week. Dobbins has been going in the fifth round of drafts. I actually have him on one of my teams. I got him in the fifth round of a fantasy draft. At that time, he was listed as second on the depth chart, according to ESPN. I looked it right up. Baltimore Ravens depth chart, ESPN.com. Had Dobbins as second, which, you know, I can understand that. They're live in training camp. The other thing is I listened to Harbaugh, and he said Dobbins is going to have a significant role in the offense, and obviously there was a bold prediction out there that he would have 1,000 yards. I can't recall if that was 1,000 rushing, which is that would be unheard of, but that would be crazy. But I think it was 1,000 all-purpose yards, which it sounds more realistic. I think it's not too far-fetched to see that, but just given how the coach was gushing about Dobbins and his involvement, I heard he had an impressive camp by what I've read and kind of what I saw in some of the highlights. I feel like Dobbins will ascend very quickly. I'm not worried about his fourth slot. I think it's going to be an as-is. I think Mark Ingram's going to get a bulk of the carries, 60, 70% throughout the season. But obviously the Ravens are not that the three-down feature back, and then it is what it is. They kind of do different things. I mean, you saw a little mix of Edwards and Justice Hill, and it kind of reminds me of back in the day when the Ravens had McGahee, LaRon McClain, and what was the third back there? I can't recall, man. Reaching back. Anybody can help me out there. A memory. Yeah, but it just reminds me of that committee. Like, it just like how, just where Mark Ingram came from, New Orleans. You know, it was thunder and lightning. You know, him and Kamara were producing still at a decent level with both of them kind of sharing time. So I feel like Dobbins in this running back situation, take it for what it's worth. I think the Ravens obviously had to put a depth chart out there just to put one out there. But obviously, there could be only one running back in the slot, number one. I get why they probably put Dobbins fourth out of a four running back committee of who we have, as I explained. But as I responded to James Hesley when he put the depth chart out there, he will ascend quickly. Dobbins, I am not worried at all. Again, even if he doesn't ascend, and I'm wrong in my little prediction here, at least, again, number one, he's drafted by the Ravens. He's going to be here. I feel like this is my prediction with the running game, right? Ingram, I think he'll move on in another year or two. Justice Hill and Dobbins are the future. Maybe even Gus Edwards, or maybe Gus wants to prove himself, and maybe he goes a free agent somewhere else, and then we keep Hill and Dobbins, then we draft the bruising running back to complement these quick finesse guys. So it's not going to last forever, but for this year, this moment, I think it suits the situation the Ravens are in. But obviously, things will change once they start playing games and utilize these players in situations need be.
And we got Willis McGahee, LaRon McClain, and Ray Rice.
Oh, my God. How can I forget Ray Rice? It was 2008. Yeah, I'm telling you. I was like, I knew there was a running back there, and I was like, how did I leave Ray Rice out of the conversation? I'm so dumb. How did I do that?
J.K. Dobbins picks up the number 27, the Ray Rice number.
And he plays just like him.
He does.
He's small, he's quick. Maybe because Ray Rice's career ended so abruptly. Maybe that's why I forgot. Because it ended pretty abruptly, right? So, yeah. So, I can't believe I forgot that. Forgive me, Ravens Nation. Sorry.
People are screaming at their phones right now.
I can hear them now listening to the show. Like, come, their palm over their face. Like, dude.
Come on, man.
Ray Rice, come on, guys. I'm thinking. Well, you know why? Is because those two stand out. Because in 2008, when they closed out Old Texas Stadium on that Christmas weekend on a Saturday night, it was those two, McGahee and McLean, that had the big long runs. So that's why that they stick out when you talk about that committee. I mean, Ray Rice, more or less, I think of Ray Rice's Super Bowl year, 4th and 29 kind of deal. Had a more hand in the playoff run in that year. Not to say he didn't do body work, but he was drafted with Joe Flacco in 2008. I should know this. Come on, Josh. I failed trivia. Don't ask me to come on trivia night.
I'm bummed we didn't get to do that this year. That was fun last year, last August.
I'm sure there's a virtual trivia night somewhere. I mean, everything's virtual at this point. So,
we were talking earlier how, you know, some people are saying the Ravens could go 16-0. If you watch Good Morning Football, we're doing this, recording this on Tuesday this morning. One of the commentators there said the Ravens aren't going to be making the playoffs at all. And
oh my gosh, who said that?
I can't remember which one it was, but
that's not that. Yeah, okay.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, these are all just guesses. Nobody has a magic eight ball, and this year is very different because, again, we brought this up, there was no preseason. Training camp was limited. Normally, training camp starts, you know, mid-July, or you get OTAs and you get mini camp and rookie camps. A lot of these guys will be on an NFL field for the very first time this coming Sunday for the Ravens. So it's kind of crazy to have your start be kind of that big, that you're going in front of the main audience, the regular season. These games count, and you need to be 100%. But, you know, none of us really know what's going to happen this season, and everyone can have an educated guess, but What does factoring in no preseason games, limited training camp, going to do to these players in the regular season? Because, you know, we've seen things happen where, you know, look at some of the running backs we've had in the past. And who was it that came from the Patriots for, I guess it was Joe Flacco's second to last season? Danny Woodhead came in, and first game, boom, he's hurt.
I remember that running back.
Yeah, he's hurt. And then we had Benjamin Watson come in, and he got hurt during a preseason game, tore his Achilles. You know, there's a chance that the fact that a lot of these players haven't been on the field and playing meaningful games in so long, injuries are going to pop up, I think, more than they would in a normal season because they don't have that wear and tear going into the regular season. You kind of need it. Like in wrestling, a lot of them call it ring rust if you haven't been able to be in the ring competitively for a while after, you know, being off for a little bit. There's a lot of ring rust. Do you see? I mean, there's no way of knowing, but across the league,
you got some ring rust.
Across the league, do you see a lot of teams potentially coming up with more injuries than they normally would? Because, you know, you're putting your foot on the gas and you're going 0-60 on Sunday. There is no, you know, you're not going uphill. You're at the top of the hill now, and you just got to keep going.
Dude, that's the most ultimate factor. In just thinking about everything you just said, that's going to be the ultimate factor. And I know every team doesn't have an advantage, right? Everybody's in the same boat. Well, no one had preseason games. No one had training camps. They all started late. A lot of these are, you know, rookies that are making immediate impact. Like Kansas City, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, drafted in the last pick of this last draft in the first round and immediately in the starting lineup, you know, and he's going to start. So, seeing the field for the first time is going to be a big deal. Obviously, they're not going to have the crowd frenzy and the enemy territory factor when they're on road games, and then you can't have that pump up home crowd feel, but it's going to feel a lot different.
My dog will be in the stadiums this year, though.
I saw that. That's awesome. Got the cutout.
Yeah. Decided to do one of the cutouts, put Finn. He's got his Hollywood Brown jersey on, so it got approved. So be on the lookout for the cutout of my dog in the stands.
I can't wait to see that, man. I can't wait. And do you know where he's going to be positioned, or they didn't tell you yet?
They didn't tell me yet.
Gotcha. But is it going to be all home games or just one?
I think it's the whole season.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Get him up there. Oh, what happens if it rains or anything? Does it not ruin it, or what do they do?
I don't know.
Do they take him down?
I mean, I would have.
They might take him down and then put him back up. Who knows? That's a lot of work, though.
That is a lot of work.
I would hate that job.
I don't know how many of those they sold.
I don't know either. Yeah. Maybe I should figure that out somewhere. But yeah, touching on that, it's going to be that's going to be the thing to keep an eye on. And I can't wait to see how that plays out, because it's probably going to be a lot of injury ridden teams out there right in the first parts of the year. A lot of sloppy football, a lot of you're going to see that. We see it in preseason all the time, and then the only other factor is, rest. These guys haven't had obviously they're practicing with pads, but they haven't had that smash mouth football, let's hit the other team, let's drive them into the ground kind of deal. You're going to get the first licks on Sunday, and it's going to be evident on Thursday. So I'm excited to watch Thursday to see the quality of the game, but I'm expecting well into September, these teams aren't going to get their feet under them, and you're going to probably see a lot of you're not going to see a team run away. Like, I don't see a team undefeated past the first couple weeks here. I don't even see a team undefeated past the first month, because I just feel like this is going to be a parity-like situation where you're going to see a lot of even records. No one's going to run away with anything. Not saying that the Ravens couldn't do it, but, this is it's a hard season to put a finger on it, because the Ravens can easily dominate like they did last year, ride a 12-4. I have them at 13-3 this year is my record.
It was Kyle Brandt, by the way, on Good Morning Football.
Oh, Kyle, come on, man. Not even make the playoffs. Well, everybody's going to blow his Twitter handle up and Good Morning Football up when Ravens are marching to a third straight AFC North crown. The war cry of the season is finish. I really think they're going to be focused and they're going to finish the job. Focused and finished is what I think the Ravens are and what the Ravens should be this year. But again, tumultuous times, man. You just don't know with 2020, with the uncertainty of the offseason, with what condition these players are in. But, buddy, they're professionals, right? They know what's at stake. This is their jobs. They know what to do. And I feel like everything's going to be all right once they start playing games and we really see what they're all about. And Lamar's going to ball out. Who knows? Could he repeat his MVP? Hard to do. But I'm going to put my prediction out there, and I'm not bashful about it. He's going to throw 40 touchdowns at least. He threw 36 last year.
I thought you were going to say just in week one.
No, I would love that, especially for fantasy when I have him. 40 touchdowns. He's going to reach 4,000 yards passing, and which is lofty, I know. And might miss the mark on that one, but we'll see. And I think he's going to have 1,000 yards rushing and 10 rushing touchdowns. The 10 rushing touchdowns and the 4,000 yards passing might be the two lofty ones I have, but it's not out of it because, 10 rushing touchdowns out of 16 games, that's less than one. Obviously, it's way less than one per game average. So, half your games, get a couple rushing touchdowns, you'll be fine.
Well, let me ask you this. So Lamar has been very adamant ever since he's been drafted that he's going to bring a Super Bowl to Baltimore, and that that's his goal. He wants to win a Super Bowl. And as a football player, that absolutely 100% should always be your goal. But he's been very outspoken about that fact that he wants to bring a Super Bowl to Baltimore. So that's great to see. It's great to have in a leader. However, with 2020, I guess let me start off with this. So last year, the loss to the Titans, it felt as if, they kind of got ahead of themselves a little bit. That was my view on that game, is that in their heads, they already were in the Super Bowl, and they were like, oh yeah, by the way, we need to beat these other teams before we get there. So this is going to be an extremely hard year in 2020, because the next game, even though it's a week away, there's a good chance, something could happen. There could be a COVID spike in a certain city and the team can't travel there, or they're going to have to switch home and away and somebody's going to have to come here instead. I mean, whatever that might be. So it all depends on, day to day. So how does this team not look to a Super Bowl win this year? because I feel like it's going to be more important to stay focused on the game that's only a couple days ahead of you instead of that final, you know, the finish line at the end of the season. What does Lamar have to do, and what do the Ravens have to do to make sure that they stay focused on the game at hand instead of that ultimate goal of the Super Bowl at the end of the year?
Never like to sound cliche, but in this moment, one game at a time. You can't bite off more than you can chew, man. You can't look at January when you're stuck in September playing week one. You can't look at December football, playing winning December football, if you don't win games in September, October, November. You know, it don't get there. You don't get a division crown if you don't win 10, 11, 12 games. You don't get there. You got to build. It's a 16-game, one game a week season. You know, it's way different than playing hockey, way, way different than playing baseball, where games are in chunks. You know, you just got to, you know, okay, you can lose one or two. Okay, we just got to put together a couple more wins here. You know, two, three, you know, just win. Like, baseball is easy. Win series. You win series, you're going to get success. And what I mean by series, take 3 out of 4 from a team. Take 2 out of 3 from a team. Sweep a team 2-0, you know, kind of deal. Yeah, you know, with obviously, you know, trading off series wins and losses, but baseball, it's looking at a series. Oh, I got a weekend series against the Red Sox. Let's win Friday and Saturday and then Sunday. Hey, if we lose, we won 2 out of 3. At 60, if you take every series like that, that's how you build wins. Ravens, it's like, look, I've always said this. You focus on one game at a time, but if the Ravens, or not even the Ravens, but any team, Brandon, you win 8 home games, it's 8-0. You go 4-4 in a road, you're at 12-4. It's not that hard to do if you really look at it. I'm like, okay, pedestrian, 500 on the road. You win half your road games, you win all your home games, you're 12-4 every year. You know, home games are like that, not that kind of tick mark, give me win, but it's almost like you have the crowd, it's a home game. You should win your home games. You know, some teams don't win any of them, but, you know, Ravens win mostly all their home games. Unfortunately, last 2 years, it's unfortunately been in the playoffs at home that they can't get out of their own way. What's even more amazing is under Joe Flacco's direction, the Ravens had way more success when the road versus home. Granted, they were always away from home because they didn't get the high seeds. But again, there's a trade-off. The Ravens got to take it one game at a time. Again, don't want to be cliche with it. But that's how I would approach it. That's how any team would approach it. Look, they all week they prepare for the opponent. That Saturday, Thursday, Monday, whatever they're playing, they play that opponent. And when that's done, it's done. You can't go back and change it. Okay, we're on to the next team. You learn, you enjoy a win, or you learn from the loss, and sometimes you learn from wins too, because you do things wrong there. Or that not perfect. And they move on. You build, you stack. You know, they gotta start out fast, and that's a key to success too. Not only taking one game at a time, but coming out, starting fast on teams, getting out ahead. The Ravens have shown, and this is what I want to see as a key for 2020 season, can the Ravens play from behind? They've shown that they can get out ahead quickly and stay ahead for good. Can this team come back from behind? When they do, it's difficult. They got behind with the Chiefs, couldn't recover. They got behind with Cleveland last year, the only 2 losses, couldn't recover in time. They scrambled. They got behind early with the Titans, I should say. Scrambled around, tried to come back. It was too little, too late. They can't come from behind. So the Ravens, if they're going to show championship football team, they got to be down 7, 10, 12, 14 points, and they got to come from behind quickly. They came from behind against the Browns, which is the bright spot and made me have a glimmer of hope for that last year. Remember, they were down 14. I think it was down 6-14. They were down and right at the half. They got 2 quick touchdowns and went up, and that's all she wrote, and they went and won that game. But, you know, for the Ravens to really build on that championship pedigree, they just got to take it quarter by quarter, game by game, minute by minute. I feel like the Ravens, they're motivated. They got the motivation of Lamar. He's hungry. He wants that Lombardi. He said it when he got it at draft night. You're going to get a Super Bowl out of me. Believe that. He didn't say win. He said you're going to. And I think this year, easily could be last year, could have easily been it the year to make that come true and the promise delivered. But I feel like the Ravens are building something special here, and this could be the year where we truly believe that. We'll leave with this. On to the Browns, with all that said and done. looking at the scope of things with this divisional matchup, what are you most excited to see, and what do you think a key to this game could be coming Sunday?
Well, one guy we have not talked about at all is the number one draft pick, Patrick Queen. And that's what I'm most excited to see. I mean, yes, I'm excited to see Lamar absolutely light it up like he has in the past. He's shown what he can do last year being the MVP of the league. And I'm so excited to see what he can do, and him and Mark Ingram back on the field together. But Patrick Queen, he's a giant question mark for me because, like I said, no preseason, no real glimpse into training camp where you could watch this guy the entire time. You know, you just got little clips of video and that's pretty much it. But I want to see what Patrick Queen can do. I mean, you've watched some highlights of him on YouTube in his college years. He's looked, you know, super impressive. Obviously he impressed the Ravens front office, and I like what they have brought in the past. So I think Patrick Queen's going to be a guy that you got to keep your eye on because I don't know what to expect from him. I don't think the Cleveland Browns are going to know what to expect from him as well. And, you know, everyone's saying that the Cleveland Browns offense is going to have a bounce back year. And you know, Baker Mayfield and Chubb and Odell Beckham and all those guys are going to impress. And I think you have a guy like Patrick Queen, and then you got Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell. Let's see those two guys together. They're going to be able to shut that down. I'm super excited to see what Queen brings to the table on the defense.
It's a great point. Our number one draft pick is going to make an immediate impact as a starting middle linebacker on this Ravens defense this year. You know, again, and the rookies that were drafted right high, Dobbins and Queen, they're going to make an impact. You know, we're not, again, alluding to back in the show, we're not worried about Dobbins being buried on the depth chart. Things change. Patrick Queen is the starter. And again, that could change. You don't know. You know, you don't know with injury. You don't know with play. But right now, the Ravens are a believer in him. Putting that the 20th overall pick in Patrick Queen right in the spotlight, right in the mist, showing it the emergence of a true leader there. The next great middle linebacker, I mean, it's big shoes to fill, right? Our first great middle linebacker was our second ever Hall of Famer. He's got a statue out front. You might know him, great Ray Lewis. It's a position that holds true and dear to every Ravens fan. And it's a position of pedigree. It's a position of greatness. It's a position of champions. Great. He's going to show that greatness. And, no, I'm excited for the young guy. I see what he's got, and he's going to lead us, and I feel like he's going to feel right at home. I know for him, he's probably bummed as we all that we can't be there with him coming out of the tunnel with the entrances, and we're looking forward to seeing what this guy does on Sunday, man. Building upon that, I'm really excited to see, you know, not only Patrick Queen, but what the additions of Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe can bring. Derek Wolfe was more than excited. He called this place home. He's never really been around Baltimore, but he said he feels home. It speaks about the organization, speaks about the culture. Calais Campbell's been a force in camp, I heard. You know, that's expected. So looking at the depth chart, looking at the way these things might play out, this defense is going to be a force. I'm excited to see in kind of – because I know Marcus Peters made an immediate impact when he came in and for the Ravens, got paid. And I can't wait to see what he does in his first full season. He came in for a partial season last year. Is bought out. Marcus Peters back there along with our secondary man. You got Marlon Humphrey. You got Jimmy Smith. You got Chuck Clark, Deshaun Elliott. It's going to be amazing to see what these guys can do along with Marcus Peters, man. And, you know, to see everybody just play out with our secondary is probably as strong as it's ever been. I'm really excited to see what we can do here, and I think we're better for it with the players we have now. I'd like to see, with the addition by subtraction, with Earl Thomas not being there, Earl Thomas is void, you know, with these guys in there right now. I'm really excited to see that overall makeup. What I'm also excited to see is, you remember last time these teams linked up? Remember Beckham and Marlon Humphrey choking out Beckham on the ground?
Right.
That's the best pick, and I probably, if it's not posted up, I'll post it up for Browns Week for us at the Call Facebook page. That'll be our probably our cover photo. It's there rivalry week.
I like it.
I'll dig that one up. That'll be it. But remember that. You got Baker, who obviously was drafted in the same draft class as Lamar Jackson. those two are going to be ever linked, just how I've always linked Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco. Lamar's got the success that Baker wants, and he's got the firepower and all the talent around him, just can't put it together. But that's going to be an intriguing matchup, seeing how Baker Mayfield adjusts this year. You know, it's a rivalry game. It's the Ravens. We know each other very, very well. I'm going to see how Beckham comes in the form and how the Ravens scheme for him. Another couple matchups that I really want to watch out for is Nick Chubb. Remember last year in Baltimore, last time the Browns came here and the Ravens could not tackle Nick Chubb, just how they couldn't tackle Derrick Henry. And a little secret out of the bag, if Nick Chubb does this again to the Ravens, it's kind of a bittersweet win for me because I kind of drafted Nick Chubb in one of my fantasy leagues this year. So, if he does that again, I'd be a little disappointed against the Ravens. But again, it'll be all forgiven if he gets me 30 points. But hey, I don't expect that because I think the Ravens went out. We talked about Patrick Queen, Derek Wolfe, Calais Campbell. There's a reason why we're bringing these names up. I think the Ravens said enough's enough. They couldn't stop the run. And Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry in these two huge games were two of the three losses in total, counting the playoff game. Stopping Nick Chubb and stopping the run game is going to force Baker Mayfield in the pass. And the passing scheme matchup with our secondary, we're going to win that matchup all day long. I'm going to watch the trenches on Sunday, the line. The defensive line versus Nick Chubb and the offensive line for the Browns. How that matchup plays out is how it's going to dictate how successful the Ravens can be against the Browns offense. Another addition to the Browns, and I'm really intrigued to see here, is Austin Hooper. He's the tight end that came over from Atlanta who had success with Matt Ryan. Obviously, he left Atlanta because Atlanta got one of our old tight ends in Hayden Hurst. So, tight ends got moved around, shuffled a little bit. He's going to be there with David Njoku. David Njoku's coming off an injury season. I know, he was lauded to have, obviously, he's still got talent, one of the next great tight ends in the league, still developing, but that's exciting to see how the Ravens scheme for an Austin Hooper. I know they played against him before and had success down there in Atlanta, but we'll see how this all plays out coming into this year, 2020. But, ending it all, cherry on top, I think the Ravens come out with an opening day. We got to call them home games, right? But it just doesn't feel right. But they are home games, home opener, season opener, debut, rivalry win. I think this one comes at the hands of the Ravens, slashing them 30-13 is the score. I think it's going to be a blowout to start the year.
Very good to hear. I think the Ravens are going to be coming out with a win as well. I think they got something to prove against the Cleveland Browns after last year's loss early on in the season. I think a lot of these rookies again, this is their first time being on the field for an NFL game. I think a lot of them are going to be pretty jazzed up, and they're going to want to prove that they're there for a reason. It's going to be a weird game, though, to watch, especially without fans. So it'll be very interesting to see how these guys adapt to that. But I see the Ravens winning as well. Maybe 28-9.
Here you go.
28-9, maybe. Let's do that.
Field goals.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we want.
That's all we want.
Yeah. The game's at 1 o'clock. If you are watching at home, the game is on CBS as well. And if you're local to the Baltimore area, you can listen on 98 Rock or WBAL 1090 AM. So make sure you do that. Josh, we ready to get out of here? Is that the show?
Week one, season premiere of the Call 2020. I think this is a hearty quote, or even nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we're always posting cool stories and football-related stuff. Like, did you know this week, Friday Night Lights, the complete series, is only $30 on Vudu? You can be the proud owner of that if you wanted to be. I'll let you know over on our Facebook page. And plus, did you also know that the NFL is allowing players to swap their jerseys after games, but it has to be by the mail, and they have to be cleaned with Tide beforehand because they have a sponsorship with Tide now. So new rules implemented for COVID, but any kind of news like that that happens in between shows, make sure you like us on Facebook. We will post them there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, get us ready for the Brownies. Take us out the way you always do.
Are we going to swap shirts?
Yeah, I'll mail you a shirt. How's that?
Should do that after every week's episode. I have 16 of Brandon's freshly clean shirts mailed to me. Signed by me.
The way the mail's going, I don't think they'd get there by the time the next show happened.
Well, I know. Well, speaking of that, I had to mail something with regarding taxes in. I was like, I never trust mail. I'm like, look. This is why I'm happy with automated, you know, like taking mortgage payments out. But I'm like, they've lost payments for me before. So I'm like, now I do certified mail. I pay for that. I'm like, I want that tracking number and I watch it.
Yep.
I mean, well, I'm like that too when I order from eBay and Amazon. I'm like, I love watching the packages come like an update, like, like update. Oh, it's going to be delivered today. And just love that. So yeah, man, maybe I have to send you certified mail some jersey/t-shirts here that we have here. But yeah, it did sneak up on us, right? Week one. But Harbaugh alluded to it. The Ravens didn't sneak up on them. They were ready for it. They've been working hard all offseason and adjusting to all the differences of the league and how we all have to adjust to life under this year. And but I feel like the Ravens are ready. From what I see with Amar and his brand-new Oakley visor, man, he's going to look the part of the MVP out there. And I feel like he's going to continue to play. I think this is just exciting to see this young guy grow into his own and just become a great leader of the Ravens, a great player in this league, an ambassador for the NFL. You know, I'm just excited for him. You know, the Madden 21 is just awesome. You know, to see him on the cover this year, offseason, 2019 NFL MVP honors, the second unanimous only to Tom Brady. It's just fantastic to boast about that. You know, voted by the players, top 100 players list on NFL Network. His peers voted him number one overall player. Again, more accolades. Got the Madden cover. The Oakley sponsorship now with the visor. So things are just looking up for this guy. And I'm excited to rock. I know, Brandon, I'm going to give you a preview. I'm excited for my newest edition of the season here. Yeah. I had to go. Guess what I got? I got me the Lamar socks.
Lamar socks?
Yes.
Nice.
I got the Lamar Jackson Wild Dog socks I'm going to be sporting this year. I'm going to all Air 8 apparel this year. I got the hoodie. I'm waiting for the hats to come back and stop to get the hat, but they're sold out right now. But I'm going to go all Air 8 apparel to support our newest leader here in Lamar Jackson. I feel like the stars are going to shine bright for him this year, and the Ravens. They're going to ball out to a good record of three-peat on the AFC North crown, but it all starts with one game. It all starts with Cleveland. I'm ready to snuff out these Brownies and just put us out of their way and dispose of them. You beat them, move on, and don't let them hang around. They can do last year in that game in Cleveland last year, week 16. Remember, Browns were hanging around. Ravens couldn't get nothing going. And then all of a sudden, two-minute warning happened, and Lamar and the offense woke up with two quick, straight, late touchdowns in the first half to go up for good. Ravens really don't want to start out slow against a team just like this and let them linger in a lead or just let them hang around. The Ravens really want to make a statement just like they did, and I shared it today. Today's the anniversary of week one where Lamar – through five touchdowns his debut against Miami last year. I feel like it's going to be one of those kind of debuts where you just knew the season was going to go well. I think Lamar's going to come out slinging the ball, you know, running around. You know, everybody's going to get involved. It's going to be that fun backyard football that we all love and razzle dazzle. And Brandon, what is he going to do next? I mean, spin moves last year, jukes, breaking ankles, I don't know what this kid's going to do this year, but I'm excited for it along for the ride. And this divisional matchup is looming right here on Sunday. It's going to be different. We're not going to be at the bank. It's going to be a little disappointing, but spirits are going to be lifted because there is Ravens football to be had. It's real Ravens football to be had. This counts. This ain't no preseason. This isn't no scrimmage. This is Ravens-Browns Sunday at 1 o'clock. Are you ready? Divisional matchup, Baltimore Ravens 2020 season. How about it? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.